What is the reason for the war?
According to data collected by SIPRI, the United States is the largest arms provider in the world.
NATO does not exist to solve problems. NATO exists to ensure the imperialist strategy of the United States.
Reasons why wars arise evolve in tandem with the technology to make those same wars.
The history of warfare is as old as that of mankind. Man's historical timeline has records of wars waged for various reasons. Incentives such as looting and plundering, retaliating against the enemy and saber-rattling all promoted wars in primitive human communities.
Like other animals, humans also began to have troubled relationships with other human beings, based on the need for resources for food, which allow the development and perpetuation of the species.
With the passage of time and the advancement of human societies, the incentives for war have also evolved. The things that previously triggered battle are no longer considered legitimate reasons for taking up arms.
As man evolves, societies evolve, and the technology available to the human being to make war also evolves. The reasons why wars arise evolve in tandem with the technology to make those same wars. As technology evolves, the existing political systems evolve. For example, Greek city-states gave place to the Roman Empire, to various forms of territorial and political organization, and therefore the reasons for war and conflicts also evolved. On the other hand, how this conflict materializes also evolves according to the techniques of violence, war techniques, that are available to the human being.
Over time, research and funding for the invention and production of firearms and weapons expanded, reaching an unprecedented rate during World War II. Afterwards, and especially in the interwar period, the manufacture of complex deadly weapons took the life-threatening potential of warfare machinery to a whole new level. Even in the post-war era that we live in, data on the casualties of war leaves us aghast. On average, one person loses his life every minute in armed conflict or violence. Unrelenting acts of aggression have thus boosted the arms industry. The industry has developed so much that today the arms trade takes the lion's share of international business. Of the total amount of global trade, 16% is generated by the arms industry. To put it another way, more than $2 billion is spent on arms acquisition every day. Giant manufacturing companies as well as arms dealers resort to any method of deception to increase global military expenditure, even if the weapons are paid for in the form of innocent human lives.
War has a reason. What is the reason for the war? The reason for the war is that there are countries, people, arms dealers, there are people for whom war is a source of extraordinary business.
We know that NATO controls about 70% of the world's military budget, and the United States itself sells about 30% of the weapons globally. But we know that even here in Europe, France, UK, Germany itself, Sweden and other countries are involved in the arms trade and have developed the business of arms production and trading.
Many countries buy guns and military equipment to make sure they can defend themselves when necessary. Organizing exhibitions to introduce the latest military technology is one of the methods used to encourage governments to buy advanced war machinery. Many joint military exercises aimed at testing new weapons also provide incentives for the sale of arms. In recent years, in view of the credit crunch that has battered the economies of the US and Europe, countries that manufacture arms have upped their sales to boost their economies. But without actual war, the weapons purchased are useless and have to be stacked up in army depots. Under the circumstances, creating conflict and encouraging ethnic and religious divide are the best ways to ensure wars will be waged, and consequently, war-torn regions and countries will buy military equipment.
O agravamento da crise do capitalismo no plano mundial.
The deepening crisis of capitalism globally leads to great power nations seeking new areas of conflict, either because they want to control sources, routes, and clearly strategic regions, or because they want to control the international trade at different levels. Moreover, they need to ensure that docile governments follow their strategy and also need to find customers for the production of the multinational arms industry. But also afterwards, the multinationals engaged in the reconstruction of the areas destroyed by the war. We saw this in Iraq, as we saw it in Afghanistan, as we are seeing it in Libya.
The sale of arms has become one of the most profitable industries across the globe. That said, some countries have now become the main producers and exporters of arms and others, the perpetual consumers and importers. According to Stockholm International Peace Research Institute, SIPRI, global arms sales between the year 2009 and 2013 increased 14% compared to the previous 15-year span.
We all know that the great armaments producers of the world are the United States, Russia, China, in European terms, France, Germany, UK, and to a certain extent, Italy and Spain. Of course, there are other important producers. Brazil is one good example.
According to data collected by SIPRI, the United States is the largest arms provider in the world. The US sells weapons to 170 countries worldwide and dominates 30% of the global arms trade. After the US, Russia with 27%, Germany with 7%, China with 6%, and France with 5% collectively accounted for three-fourths of the international arms sales in the past 5 years. Needless to say, the data published by SIPRI only includes numbers from the official arms market. Had the numbers from arms trafficking been included, the data would better illustrate the share of developed countries in global arms sales.
The economic interests of the great powers is what actually determines the fundamental decisions about the war, although it is said that it is intended to defend peace.
American power is embodied in various ways, politically, economically, and socially. What happens is that there are certain areas where the Americans decide to intervene. There are several American interventions in various settings. These interventions are made according to the priorities of the U.S. administration and the interests of the American state, but also with a discourse that does not focus focus on these specific policy priorities, even though the logic justifying this intervention rarely has to do with the assertion of power. That is, Americans do not say, we're going to intervene in Libya or Afghanistan for the affirmation of our power. What they tell us is that it is necessary to intervene in Libya to stabilize the country and to consolidate the end of a dictatorship, to consolidate a democratic revolution. What they tell us is, we intervene in Afghanistan to fight terrorism, in Iraq with the excuse of eventually existing weapons of mass destruction. But what really happens is that they are scenarios in which US power is consolidated.
Permanent members of the United Nations might in theory be supportive of international peace and security programs, but these very same countries have the largest stake in the arms industry. The first Persian Gulf War, which was imposed upon Iran by Iraq and that lasted 8 years, apparently took place against the will of the permanent UN members. However, now that many secrets about the war have been revealed, it is known that 36 countries from both the Eastern and the Western bloc equipped the government of Iraq with arms in the fight against Iran. The American ABC television network revealed that the Iraqi dictator had bought more than 500 tons of a substance called thiodidlicol from the chemical company Alkalac Incorporated in Baltimore. When mixed with chlorhydric acid, mustard gas was produced. Following CIA Director William J. Casey's suggestion, the US made delivering cluster bombs to Iraq its priority. Washington deemed this weapon the most effective when it came to stemming the tide of Iranian men on the front lines. In January 1981, France began delivering 60 Mirage F1 fighter jets to Iraq. In the midst of the war on Iran, the German company Karl Kohm opened 6 separate production lines of chemical weapons in Iraq's Samarra complex. This was no doubt the biggest chemical weapon production company in the world. The Spiegel magazine wrote later that no country had helped Iraq as much as Germany in the research and manufacture of lethal weapons.